begin? Tov.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayigash.
Yehuda.
We're going to deal with tonight, Bezrat Hashem, God willing, the mitzvah, Tav Kuf Lamed, 530. The mitzvah of Egla Arufa. A very famous mitzvah of Egla Arufa. So, before we get into some of the details, or maybe first we'll get into some of the details, what exactly is the mitzvah of Egla Arufa? So, I'll go through the procedure of the mitzvah just a little bit. It goes like this. First of all, when we find a dead person, it's actually interesting, halacha has to be halal. Halal means, chazal darshan, the person has to be killed by a sword, by metal. So if somebody was strangled, you wouldn't do egla rufa. But if somebody gets his head chopped off, and he's murdered, and we don't know who killed him, so, and it's in Eretz Yisrael, or Eber Hayarden, so that's step number one. You find the dead body, you don't know who killed him. Step number two is three dayanim from the Beis Din HaGadol of Yerushalayim come and they're modeed the merchak to the closest city. They measure, they take a long yardstick, and they measure what's the closest city. Agav, and another interesting detail, even if like it's so super clear what the closest city is, there's a mitzvah on the chachamim to go ahead and actually go ahead and measure. It's part of the mitzvah to measure the distance from the body to the closest city. Another interesting detail, you measure the body from the nose. Like, where do you start the measuring tape? You start it from the nose. We're just going through the order of Egla Rufa. What's the order? So the procedure is you find the dead person, Bezda comes and they evaluate, they measure what the closest city is. The next step that you do is you bury the dead body over there where the dead person was killed. Then the Bezda of the closest city brings an egla, a calf, a baby cow that has never worked a day in its life and never carried a yoke. They take that and they bring it to something called the Nachal Eitan. There's a Machlokas Rishonim, Rambam Rashi. What is a Nachal Eitan? Nachal Eitan.
There's no appearance of the Eitan as
a name. Eitan. So it's the Nachal Eitan. But some people, notably Israelis, call it Eitan. Eitan, what does Eitan mean? Eitan means strong. So there's a machlokas. What does it mean? Does it mean like a strong flowing river? Or does it mean like a rock? Like it's a nachal, but it's really just rocks. Seder, machlokas Rishonim. But we bring the closest city, the chachamim, the dayanim of the closest city, bring this calf that's never worked a day in his life. They bring it to this nachal Eitan. And then they break the neck of the calf. And then they bury it there. Seder Gamor. The next mitzvah, by the way, Tav Kof Lamed Aleph, is the mitzvah of never working the land where this egla was killed. The next step is that the chachamim of the closest city, they wash their hands over it. In front of the kohanim also come to this event. It's like a big event. The chachamim wash their hands, notel yadayim, and they say, and I quote, Yadenu lo shafchu es hadam hazeh ve'einenu lo ra'u. So the Chachamim, the Dayanim of the Beis Din, of the closest city, come and say, we didn't kill this guy. It's not our fault that this person was killed.
It's Be'einenu lo ra'u.
Be'einenu lo ra'u. The obvious question everybody asks, Chazal actually asks, Gemara asks. Gemara says, I don't understand. Are we really choshesh that these big Rabbanim, the Beis Din, come and they say, Einenu lo ra'u, v'yadenu lo shafud. We're really choshesh that the murderers with the Dayanim, the big rabbis, are the people who killed him? Is that really what happened? So just a little anecdote. This is the first Bar Torah I ever gave in the city of Efrat. I was eating at a beautiful mishpacha. They're named Shikmans. And I spoke about, this was the question I asked.
The Heliga Shikmans.
And we asked the Shikmans. I don't understand. Do you really think that the big Rabbanim, that they're the ones who killed, and that's why they have to come and they have to proclaim, we didn't do anything, it's not our fault that this person was killed, we didn't kill him? What's the shot? So I answered, Chazal says it, Rashi says, that Chazal aren't saying that we were choshesh that the Rabbanim are the ones who killed the person. What they're saying is that we as a community, and we as a representatives of the community, are representing the community, and we did not do enough for this person, clearly. The fact that he was alone, walking in between cities, and nobody was escorting him, and nobody knew where he was going, and nobody knows anything about the situation, shows us that we weren't hospitable enough, and we didn't care about this person enough, we weren't friendly enough, and we weren't welcoming enough to this individual, and that's why something bad happened to him. And I said, Baruch Hashem, after moving to this wonderful city of Efrat, we don't feel this way. We feel that the people here welcomed us. They have our back. They're very into it. They like it. So whatever. Mishpacha Shikman.
So Mer Tashem bar all of you guys when you guys make Aliyah.
When you make Aliyah, make Aliyah around this time. And you should say this vote. Seder Gamor. Fine. So now let's get into some of the juice. Fine. There's not much Teira written about Egla Rufa. It's one of these things that was, for whatever reason, it's like pretty random. It's just not talked about that much. No. Just happened. However, there's a sefer. There is a sefer called the Nachal Eson, written by Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And in the Hakdama to the Nachal Eson, Rav Chaim Kanievsky quotes B'Shem the Sefer HaChareder, and he says that there's a big, big mitzvah to go out and find mitzvos and chelex and halakim of Torah that aren't dealt with enough, that are almost forgotten kilu and not paid enough attention to, and to revivify that chelek of Torah, to bring that mitzvah, to bring it back to, oh, beautiful, there's a tshuva of Rav Moshe. That Rav Moshe says it's a very big sin, it's a very big avir to forget a section of the Torah. And which is why Rav Moshe said, it's not so pushy to say, they're like, oh, we can't eat giraffes. But you could eat giraffes, it's just that we don't know exactly how to do it. So you're not supposed to forget a section of the Torah. And that's why Rav Chaim Kanievsky is actually also very into this. And he says, he's medame, he equates it, to like a mace mitzvah. When you're walking by and you see a dead body, you have to bury. Even a Kohen is not allowed to become tame, he has to go ahead. It's a mace mitzvah, he has to bury. Even a Kohen Gadol has to go ahead and bury the body. Why? Because nobody else is going to do it. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky felt that there's certain mitzvahs, there's certain chalakim of Torah that are almost forgotten, and it's kilu together mace mitzvah, that you have to go out and you have to try to bring that Torah back to life. I just thought it's a beautiful idea. So he has a sefer called the Nachal Eson about that. Fine.
So Walsy tells the story of when he was in Kaima putting in a sherry tree.
Jesus. So, now, as we always talk about the mitzvot, what is the shoresh of the mitzvah? What is the root of the mitzvah? So over here, we have a couple things. The Sefer HaChinuch says, and it's a fascinating thing, he says that if we make a big scene, we make a whole big event out of this Egla Rufa after this person was killed, people are going to come and actually come forth and testify about it. Because if you make such a big deal about it, somebody's going to start feeling guilty. And if he really does know some information about what happened, that this is a good way. And that's why we do Egla Rufa. That's what's behind the mitzvah, that somebody's going to come ahead and testify. The Sfarno has a fascinating thing when he's talking about why the Kohanim are present in this situation. He says, because like the Kohanim are very, they're very smart people. They're leaders of the community, and they're very, and if they go, they might be able to figure out who the murderer is. I saw on the internet that they said it's actually a common thing in criminology that it's a big thing that the perpetrators return to the scene of the crime. So if you bring the Kohanim to the scene of the crime, it's very likely that the Kohanim will see somebody that looks shady and they'll actually find out that maybe he's the murderer. Whatever, it's like, and it's rooted in a Sfarno. Whatever, it's like one of those things, like, people like doing that type of shtick. Like, oh, see, criminology, you're learning in criminology, it was really, the Sfarno talked about it thousands of years ago.
That's famous, the criminal
high traces. Exactly. Fine. The Bali Musar like to talk about Egla Rufa in a different way, and this also goes to the Shorash of the Mitzvah. The Egla Rufa is all about, pretty much like the Vort I said at the Shikman, it's all about mutual responsibility. It's not right that this person is alone. Nobody knows anything about him. Clearly, it's a lack in the responsibility and the feeling of hospitality that each Jew should feel for another Jew. Fine. Next interesting question. I heard this from Rav Razner. He asks, the Tziv actually talks about this. Why is Egla Arufa? If you look in the Torah, it's sandwiched in between the mitzvot that have to do with melachos. Sorry, not melachos. Nochamos. Okay? We have a lot of mitzvot that have to do with war. And sandwiched in between all of the mitzvot that have to do with war, we have the mitzvot of Egla Arufa. Why is that? So the Tziv has a very, very beautiful comment. He says the following. He says that in a time of war, life, the significance of life is diminished. If you're a soldier in a war, you can almost become insensitive to death, insensitive to life. because it's almost like a common thing that you see, unfortunately, you see people that are passing away left and right. And life becomes a little bit less significant. You could even be killing people. So that takes away the significance of life. And Egla Arufa is the exact opposite. So it's Dafka at the time of war, when you're talking about all these different mitzvahs that have to do with war, when life becomes a little bit diminished and less significant, the mitzvah of Egla Arufa comes to teach us that every single soul, even one body that's found in between two cities, all of a sudden we have to do this whole tekes, this whole ceremony, to show that every single life is significant. But just a little dose of lumdus that I try to get in for every mitzvah. Rav Elchanan talks about this concept. I don't know if you guys remember, Ruba Vikaro, Ruba Adif. So let's say you have one, what? Ruba Vikarov, Ruba Adif. Okay? So we say that which city, meaning gets credit for the Egla Rufa, which city has to bring the Egla Rufa? The closest. Let's say you have a city that's close by, but there's also a city that's a little bit further away, but there's more people. Whatever, so not to get into that question specifically, but Rav Elchanan brings this question. Let's say you have a rove in one direction, but you have Karov in the other direction.
I thought the rove was going to be you have another city that
has more murderers. Same question. So Rav Elchanan likes to talk about it, says that rove is what we like to call in London a biro. Rove doesn't only tell you, like, holy chacha rove, that, like, okay, we don't know what to do, so just go with the majority because, like, that's what halacha tells us to do. No, rove actually tells us that odds are that rove is telling us that this is actually the truth. But Karov, it just exerts a custom that if this is here and this one's further, so we'll go after the Karov. That's just what we call in Lamdus Ahachra. We don't know what to do. It's almost like a chazaka. We say, Hamotzi Mechavela Baraya, right? Meaning, I say you owe me $100. We don't actually know what happened. It's a total something. We don't know who owes the money. We say, Hamotzi Mechavela Baraya. Why? So again, there's two ways to look at it. Either it could be that the logic is actually telling you that it's still in my pocket, so it's mine. Or it's just saying that, no, we don't know what to do, so Allah is just going to tell us to keep it here. Fine, but say that's just Rav Elchanan and Kovitz here, and he talks a lot about this. He talks about Rove and Chazaka and whatever, a lot of other things. Talks about exactly what it is. Is it a Biro, which is actually telling you the truth? Or is it a Hachra, when it's just telling you what to go?
That you might not... It could be a spec sector even when it's not.
Right. Same concept. Fine. Now just a couple maharals to end off. Bini Feinmesser would be very proud of me. Rav Feinmesser would be very, very proud of me. The Rambam, when he's in Hilchos Avelos, he talks a lot about mitzvos ben adam l'chavero. He talks about things like Bikur Cholim and Acham Avelim. And one of the things he talks about is to be melave somebody, to escort somebody. If somebody's this is a common thing you hear. When somebody's leaving your house, you're supposed to escort them outside of your house. Right? You're supposed to escort. Somebody's leaving your city, you should leave them. You should escort them out of the city. The Rambam says that this mitzvah is bigger than the rest of the other mitzvahs. The biggest mitzvah is schar halavaya. The Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, says schar halavaya, the schar, the reward that you get for escorting your friend, ain lo shir, is infinite. So what's the shot of that? Why is it such a big deal to escort somebody out of your house? Why is it such a big deal to escort somebody out of the city? So the Chidushei Agados and the Maharal, he says that when you're malave somebody, when you escort somebody outside of your house, when you escort somebody out of your city, when someone comes to check out the yeshiva and you walk with him, you take him outside of the yachid, he's no longer alone, and now you bring him into the tzibur. You bring him into your kehila. You bring him in to your chevra. Okay, and as we know, let's say by davening, when you daven alone, say you can daven alone. You daven biyichidos. Hakadosh Baruch Hu listens to you. But ain't no dome at tefillah biyichidos that when you're davening with the tzibur, because then you get the whole schos of the tzibur. So that's what the Maharal says is shout why being melave somebody is such a big deal, because you're now taking him and you're taking him and only into, from only himself, and you're bringing him into the tzibur. You're bringing him to the kehila, and now he's part of you guys, and therefore he has a lot more protection. It's both. Even when you escort them out. That's the whole thing by Egla Arufa. Somebody's about to leave your city, okay? If he's leaving your city by himself, he's essentially leaving by himself. All the schuyos that he has to protect him from all the dangers outside the city is him himself. But if you take him outside, so you're showing that he's part of you guys, and you're essentially taking, he's taking a part of the community with him, and he's taking those studios of not only himself, but the whole community, and therefore you're giving that to him as well, and that's what the Maharal says. And I was looking for this Maharal, I accidentally came across a Maharal in a previous Amud. Sometimes you just, see, after the Shema, you just gotta share.
There's
gotta
share. There's no accident.
There's no accident. There's no such thing as an accident. No such thing as a coincidence. Oh! Caught incidents.
Sorry,
Asher Shryer. Caught incidents.
Asher Shryer. He's going on the Y Torah page, Josh.
So, he says like this. The Pasuk says, Ki matze halal ba'adama. When you find a dead body in the Adama. First of all, why is he saying ba'adama? In the earth. I should say, like, ba'aretz. Why is he saying Adama? Adama is a weird word. Mara, first of all, says, why is man called Adam? Because of Adama. He's a man of the field. He works the field. Mara says, okay, what does that mean? Animals are much more dependent on the Adama than human beings. Call us, like, I don't know, B'nai Technologia. Like, we've already moved on from, like, being so connected to the earth. Okay? So why are we called Adam? He says it has to be something deep. So he says, why is a man called Adam after the Adama? So he says, Adama, earth has two elements to it. It has potential. It has the soil, the nutrients that have a lot of potential for growth. And that's stage one. But it also has stage two, what we call in English, fruition. The completion of all that potential, you're turning that potential energy into kinetic energy, into something that is actually happening. So that Maharal says that that is the entire nature and what makes human beings special. Because human beings have tremendous, tremendous potential. And not only do they have potential, they have the ability to actualize that potential. And that's why we are called Adama. Not because we eat a lot of tomatoes that grow on the ground, but because in the same way that Adama has tremendous potential, and the entire purpose is to fulfill that potential, that is why Adam is called Adam after the Adama. And then he connects it to Igra Arufa. Why do we Dafka have to take a calf that never worked a day in its life? Because a calf that never worked a day in its life is full of potential. It never worked a day in its life. It never took that potential and took its kochos. It never used it for anything. It never did anything. And that is what we're trying to show that happened to this person who was taken, who was killed at an early age. He was taken away, and he had a lot of potential that essentially was wasted because he was killed. And since he was killed, what happened when he was killed? All that potential went to waste. And that's why we have to take a calf that symbolizes that, that had a lot of potential but never did anything with it. And that's why this week we should be zoiche. We all have a lot of koichos, Baruch Hashem, especially the Bnei Chabura Hazot. A lot of potential, a lot of potential. We should all be real men, real gvorim, and real adams. And we should take that potential and not only keep the potential, but to maximize and actualize that potential. We should all be zoiche too. Yeah.
And the clear connection with this week's parasha, Rashi and the Rabbi by Yaakov was our goal. So Rashi says that. So he.